Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. Up next is the audiobook by Dr. Billy Brim, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter Shelley Brim. This classic teaching will guide you to discover the truth about the blood of Jesus and the glory of God. Stay tuned to the end of our broadcast to find out more on Billy Brim Ministries' next authority conference hosted near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th. This is a free special Tulsa, Oklahoma event. For more information, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.
Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, revealed that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was in fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts is the former rain outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It came to prepare the ground for the sowing of the seed. The latter rain outpouring came at the beginning of this last prophetic century of the sixth day. The Azusa Street outpouring was a part of it. The old timers we've been referring to were a part of it. It came before the early harvest. But the Bible prophesies an outpouring when the early rains and the latter rains will come together. Joel prophesied a coming of the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Joel chapter 2, verse 23. The Holy Spirit, through James, revealed that the great third and final outpouring of the age will come just before the coming of the Lord. James chapter 5. Verses 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The husbandman is God the Father. John chapter 15, verse 1. A husbandman is a farmer. God the Father is the best farmer ever there was or ever will be. He has a field, earth. God's field will receive an outpouring of the Spirit, likened unto the former and latter rains coming together. The glories of this outpouring will produce the grandest crop ever there was or ever will be. A great harvest of the precious fruit of the earth will come in to the glory of God the Father. The third and last outpouring of the Spirit before Jesus comes will include everything in the book of Acts plus everything in the outpouring at the beginning of this century put together. Chapter 20. Witness the Rains. God's call upon my life involves being a witness. I am to go about the earth and watch what He is doing and telling others. It amazes me how he makes it possible for me to do so. In 1991, he impressed upon my spirit that I should spend the winter of 91 and 92 in Israel. When I prayed, his direction came to me quite clearly. He wanted me to witness some things which were very big. There would be an element of surprise in it, and he would widen the audience to hear the witness. Perhaps this book is just that. We live in northeastern Oklahoma near Tulsa. Our finances seem to say that it would be stretching it to spend the winter in Oklahoma City. But as soon as I made the decision, the money began to pour in to go. I arrived at my Hebrew school in November. It was cold. And miracle of miracles, it was raining. Israel had experienced a record drought for the five preceding years. I had been there many times with groups during the drought. I had viewed the Sea of Galilee from high above on the cliffs of Arbel. The shrinking of the beautiful little sea, which is the country's reservoir, was unbelievable. Everyone said the greatest threat to their survival was not war. It was lack of water. Their water supply was disappearing, even while their population was swelling. The Russian Jews were coming home in large numbers. Strict measures were enacted. There were even rules about flushing toilets. Bright Jews were brainstorming. Bringing in an iceberg was proposed among other desperate measures. Scientists daily reported on the status of the Sea of Galilee, with dire forecast of just how long they could exist. Our Jewish friends asked us to pray for rain. Group after group who came with us prayed openly the way we pray, and the Jews said, Amen. In telephone calls before I came for the winter, my friends advised me to bring warm clothes. I was not prepared. It was so cold I sometimes put on all the clothes I could and stayed in bed under all the covers I could find. The cold was only surpassed by the rain. It rained and rained and rained all day, every day. It rained in sheets, cold, windy sheets. Newspaper banner headlines in huge type read, Ness, Ness, Ness. Ness is Hebrew for miracle. And it was a miracle indeed. Record snows fell on Mount Hermon. The dews of Hermon literally give the water of life to Israel. Psalm 133, verse 3. Snow water runs off to fill three small tributaries, which feed the Jordan above the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee overflowed its banks. Scientists have predicted it would take years to fill up in normal rainy seasons. The Jordan swelled and rolled. The news reported, as it must have in Bible days. Our Hebrew school went to Tiberias to take a look at it. We drove our bus through the flooded streets of the city. They so wanted us to see the miracle. They encouraged us to get out and walk to the banks of the sea where high waves were crashing. A little Russian Jewish boy, a new immigrant, ran too close to the water's edge. His mother flew after him, struggling with her umbrella in the wind. He stopped just in time. But she toppled in. She looked rather like Mary Poppins, bobbing up and down in the churning sea, hanging on to the umbrella over her head. Of course, someone rescued her from the miracle waters. Those waters were so powerful, and the waves so big, they crumbled sidewalks and broke large glass windows in the hotels lining the shores. Making my way to classes each day was a challenge. I'd seen winds and rains in Oklahoma, but not like that, for they went on day after day after day. One day, the winds picked up my umbrella and me with it and flung us face down into the mud. But I was glad. It was miracle mud. The former rains and latter rains had come heavy and together. There was no slacking off period between them. October, November, December, January, February, March. It rained. It broke all records. The desert bloomed. A tour group was to meet me in March. Now they would be witnesses. Not to the rains. They stopped in mid-March. But to their results. I have ridden many buses through the land, but never have my eyes beheld what we saw that spring. Bright flowers carpeted the land of Israel. Miracle of miracles was the Judean desert. Normally a brown rocky wilderness, it was blanketed with green grasses and red and yellow and purple and blue and whatever color flowers come in. They measured 1 square meter and counted the varieties of wildflowers. There were more than 20. Veteran desert guides said through the media they had never seen the desert like that. Seed came up they didn't even know was there. Prophecy fulfilled. The Lord drew my attention to 2 things in this. First, He told me to read Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1. I had read it many times. The wilderness and the solitary place shall blossom as the rose. I'd always interpret it to mean the things Israel was growing from irrigation in the desert. But the Lord said to me, Isaiah didn't write in chapters and verses. Back up to the end of chapter 4 and read it in context. Isaiah chapter 34, verses 16, 17. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and bloom as the rose. I saw it. He's talking about the ingathering of the Jews. He scattered the Jews in the diaspora, but the Bible says in many places that just before the Messiah comes, He will gather them. The Berlin Wall fell without the influence of any superpower or mighty army. God pushed it down. When it fell, the teeth of communism were pulled.
Thank you for listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. What you just heard was from Dr. Billy Brim's audiobook, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter, Shelley Brim. Live near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th, join Dr. Billy Brim for our Authority Conference at our home church in a glorious church fellowship. Save the dates and make your plans now to join the upcoming Authority Conference near Tulsa, April 27th through the 29th. Joining Dr. Billy Brim in these powerful meetings will be Chip and Shelley Brim. For more information about the Tulsa Area Authority Conference, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.